Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delphi with the Family Life News Team. Now, here's what's happening.
Vaccinating kids, good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. The FDA has cleared the way for Pfizer's COVID shot for kids, children as young as 12. The first shots in arms expected tomorrow or Thursday. Experts say this will go a long way toward getting schools fully reopened in the fall.
For so many kids who are in high school, this fall could feel like a normal high school year. And that's incredible after what kids have been through.
Dr. Richard Besser is president and CEO of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. He believes once kids are inoculated, the mask should come off.
I sure do. You know, and that's something I think we're going to be moving more and more towards. If people are fully vaccinated, they can be together without masks on. That's a very safe thing.
Still, only about 30% of moms and dads will get their kids vaccinated immediately when the shots are available. Nearly a quarter say they will not get their kids vaccinated at all. The nation's fuel supplies feeling the pinch from the hack attack on Colonial Pipeline. 17 states depend on that pipeline for their energy needs. Many are running low on gas. Former Energy Secretary Rick Perry says it's sad to think that America was once the most energy independent country on earth.
And this administration wants to take that away, stop building pipelines. Well, if there was ever a wake-up call of, hey, President Biden, maybe we should build more pipelines instead of shutting them down, this was it with the Colonial Pipeline. This is insanity.
They are running out of gasoline at service stations in Georgia, North Carolina. The Eastern European crime ring called Darkside is blamed for the ransomware attack. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says President Biden's foreign policy is putting America at risk.
This is a dangerous time. Voids are filled when people are weak in the United States. When the American president is weak, that empowers all the bad guys, and you see that happening every day on the world stage.
Graham says the U.S. needs to crack down on foreign hackers by creating a cyber terrorism watch list. The death toll is rising as the violence escalates in the Middle East. Israel and Hamas on the brink of war, it would seem. Amy Kellogg reports from Jerusalem.
Hamas keeps firing rockets towards Israel. You'll recall that clashes began around the Muslim and Jewish holy sites, but last night it all escalated when Hamas fired rockets all the way to Jerusalem, which for Israel, and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stated it, is a red line.
Florida Congressman Michael Waltz says Israel feels abandoned by the Biden administration.
The administration has distanced itself from Netanyahu and from our greatest ally in the region, Israel, and has begun peace talks with its greatest enemy, with Iran.
Hamas militants have fired 400 rockets into Israel. Israel's prime minister vows to remain on the offensive until the rocket attacks end. An Israeli school was struck today, and sadly, many of the dead are children. A school shooting in the Russian city of Kazan has left at least 8 dead, 7 students and a teacher, 20 others hurt. The teenage gunman is in custody. Now to America's growing labor shortage problem. President Biden says not working is not an option if there is work that you can do.
We're going to make it clear that anyone collecting unemployment who is offered a suitable job must take the job or lose their unemployment benefits.
Critics contend the Biden administration has disincentivized work as the economy recovers from COVID. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster.
We got help wanted signs up everywhere. Businesses all across the state, they're looking for people to work, and the people just won't come to work because they're getting as much money or more in some cases by staying home.
House Republicans will be voting tomorrow to oust Liz Cheney from her leadership role. Her replacement expected to be upstate New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. Cheney is under fire for voting to impeach former President Trump. The U.S. Senate began debate today on historic voting reform legislation. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
There is no reason our two parties can't work together on S1. In fact, the legislation has already been updated and improved. It now includes input from election officials across the country, including Republican election officials.
Utah Senator Mike Lee says this bill would trample state control of elections, increase the risk of voter fraud, and tip the scales in favor of Democrats.
I think I disagree with every single word in H.R. 1, including the words but, and the. Everything about this bill is rotten to the core.
Texas Republican Ted Cruz.
This is the single most dangerous piece of legislation before the United States Congress. And their broader objective is to rig the system, to stay in power forever.
A version of SB 1 passed the House recently with zero Republican votes. Georgia's repealing a law that would allow citizen arrests. That law was a factor in the vigilante shooting death of a black jogger named Ahmaud Arbery. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp.
Here in the Peach State, we will continue to show the world that Georgia is too great for hate.
Three Georgia men appear today before a judge to answer to federal hate crime charges. The head of America's second largest teachers union defending the teaching of critical race theory in schools, Randy Weingartner with the American Federation of Teachers, got into a heated exchange last night with Martha McCallum of Fox News.
Do you favor teaching students that 1619 is more important than 1776? Do you favor that?
I favor us teaching about 1776. I favor us teaching about 1619. I think we should actually be doing more with civics in school. And I do think that we should actually be talking about when the slave trade started in a place we now call America.
1619, by the way, the year the first slave ship arrived in North America. Critical race theory espouses that the nation's founders came to America to preserve slavery, not to seek religious freedom. And that theory has been largely dismissed by many of the nation's leading historians. Still to come on the Noon Report, college kids and the COVID shot. The pandemic's created more alcoholics. And after a two-year hiatus, professional baseball is back in Binghamton.
Well, good afternoon to all. Another early April-like day underway with everything from sunshine to showers and some chilly breezes. But some milder weather is coming down the road. I'll have forecast details straight ahead. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin Williams back at the Weather Center. Thank you very much. We're checking the stories making news where you live next. Here's what's happening. Across New York and Pennsylvania, Memorial Day is just around the corner, and it looks like holiday travel is getting back to normal.
Yeah, AAA is predicting a massive 60% increase over last year in people traveling more than 50 miles from home. The agency expects 37 million people to take the roads from Thursday, May 27th to Monday, the 31st. But that could change if there's another spike in COVID-19 cases. AAA still expects a big rebound for the airline industry, with nearly 3 million Americans flying for the unofficial start of summer. That's nearly 600% more than last year. If you're planning a road trip, prepare to be pinched at the gas pump with much higher prices than have been seen in years. And whether you're vaccinated or not, masks are required on planes, buses, trains, and other forms of public transportation. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
All right, Jeremy, thank you for that. Pennsylvanians will decide a couple of statewide referendums next week that could curtail the governor's ability to make emergency declarations. Congressman Glenn Thompson says it is time to rein in Governor Wolf's pandemic power.
This is a great time, a great election in Pennsylvania to restore some checks and balances. Put limits on the governor.
The ballot questions expected to drive traffic to the polls for primary day, which is 1 week from today in Pennsylvania. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo wants a law to protect people against discrimination, people who've received the COVID shot. He says there are cases of discrimination going on at summer camps. In particular, the governor is suggesting that some camps are telling kids they can't attend if they've received the COVID vaccine. Other camps refusing to hire staff that have been inoculated. Others suggest it is those opposed to the vaccine that are the real victims of discrimination. All SUNY and CUNY schools will not require in-person students get the COVID vaccine. That announcement coming yesterday from the governor.
You're a young person. You go to a SUNY school, State University of New York, City University of New York. you must have a vaccine to come back in September.
Cuomo says there will be no wiggle room on this.
No excuses. SUNY and CUNY boards will require vaccinations for all in-person students coming back to school in the fall.
He wants private colleges to enact similar vaccine mandates.
Let's make a global statement. You cannot go back to school in person in September unless you have a vaccine.
Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute thinks the governor has crossed the line.
The governor is going to cause a real uproar. And unfortunately, it's probably going to cost people money to file lawsuits. And I'm really disappointed that the governor would take that stance.
Kerr thinks there is a silver lining with the vaccine mandate for private schools.
It could be a chance even for private schools to pick up some registrations from college students that they lost when the governor put in his Excelsior program, which basically made education at the SUNY schools free.
Yeah, and that's the lesson here. Every time you get money from the state, beware. There's usually a lot of strings attached, and here's one of them.
That's absolutely the case, Bob.
We should mention the religious exemption to the vaccine mandate no longer applies in New York. Only those with medical waivers will be permitted to refuse the shot. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and the Civil Service Employees Association, or CSEA, is pleading with New York State lawmakers, do not cut funding for mental health services. The CSEA says COVID-19 has led to a dramatic increase in the need for mental health treatment facilities. The state plans to dramatically downsize treatment options, and the CSEA says that is putting lives at risk. People are drinking more, too, during the pandemic, especially women.
The stress has gone through the roof, right? And alcohol in the short term can be a coping strategy to deal with stress.
Psychiatrist Carrie Mintz says there are warning signs of alcohol abuse.
If you notice that the person is giving up activities that they used to participate in order to be able to drink, are they finding that they're thinking about drinking about alcohol for a large portion of the day? Is it causing conflict in their either interpersonal relationships or at their job?
60% of Americans admit they drink more now than they did prior to the pandemic. The Pennsylvania State Senate advancing a bill that allows parents to hold their children back a year in school due to the learning loss caused by COVID-19. Currently in Pennsylvania, that decision is made solely by the child's school and teacher. A Pennsylvania-based convenience store chain is looking for more workers and is doling out more money to get them. Family Life's Terry Diener has this report.
Altoona-based Sheets is looking to fill more than 2,000 positions and says it will increase employee wages by $2 an hour effective May the 21st and will pay an extra $1 an hour from May 21st to September 23rd during the summer travel season. Company officials say the permanent increase equates to a $50 million annual investment. Sheets operates 622 stores throughout Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, Ohio, West Virginia, and North Carolina. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you for that, Terry. It's been a long time coming. The Binghamton Rumble Ponies home opener is tonight. That New York Mets AA franchise playing at NYSEG Field in Binghamton for the first time since the fall of 2019. It's been nearly 2 years for the Rumble Ponies. At the ballpark tonight, the Broome County Health Department will be offering free COVID vaccines. Spokeswoman Becky Kaufman.
We're not going to make appointments. We're just going to have people walk up if they're interested.
The free COVID shots will be administered for 2 hours prior to tonight's game. First pitch at NYSEG Field set for 6:35 this evening. Baseball is back in Binghamton. We got more sports next, the 2-minute drill with Sonny Delfiet.
Thank you, Bob. Let's start with history and the NBA.
And there it is. History. Russell Westbrook has just surpassed Oscar Robertson.
And what a night for Westbrook, posting a line of 28 points, 21 assists, and 13 rebounds, but the Wizards lose to the Hawks 125-124. For Westbrook, it was his 182nd career triple-double, breaking that tie with the Big O, that record that had stood since 1974. Westbrook says more to come.
To be able to play this game at a level that nobody else can play it at. And I won't stop until, I can't play no more.
Elsewhere, the Cavaliers fall to the Pacers 111-102. To the ice, the regular season is now over. Is Buffalo Sabre star Jack Eichel's time in Buffalo over?
You know, for sure, I would say I've been a bit upset about the way that things have been handled since I've been hurt. I'd be lying to say that things have moved smoothly.
And he dropped this bombshell.
I think the most important thing is just trying to get healthy and figure out a way to be available to play hockey next year, you know, wherever that might be.
Eichel is signed through the 2025-26 season with an average annual value of $10 million. In action, the Islanders limping into the playoffs, falling to the Bruins 3-2. The Isles will play the Penguins in the first round. Nick Leddy is ready.
To be honest, every matchup was going to be hard in this division. But you look at their year, they've been playing excellent. Especially the back half of the year, they've been firing on all cylinders.
The Flyers scored four unanswered goals. They beat New Jersey 42 in Philadelphia, their third win in five games. Sean Couturier hopes to return to Philly next year.
We don't control that. We try to, you know, anyway, me personally, I just try to control what I can control and let's show up every night and try to be at my best, and that's what I did tonight.
To baseball, Jacob DeGrom will be placed on the injured list by the New York Mets with tightness to his right side, a move that will keep the ace from taking the mound until May 20th. In action, the Reds pounded the Pirates 14-1. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Thank you very much, Sonny. Still to come on the Noon Report for a Tuesday. Voyager 1 phones home. Gas shortages in the South and the Church United in Syracuse.
Leaving the church is kind of in style right now, even leaving the faith. What does that mean for those of us who stay behind? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Gallup recently released a poll suggesting that the number of Americans who belong to a church, synagogue, or mosque has now fallen below 50%. In fact, more than half of the respondents to this poll didn't merely give up on their church membership, they gave up on their religion. And they now identify as a none, that's N-O-N-E, as in no religious preference whatsoever. A number of separate but related cultural trends are at work here. For example, an organization called The Witness, which is an online community of African American Christians, recently launched the hashtag Leave Loud. Through podcast episodes and online articles, The Witness encourages Black Christians to not only leave predominantly white or multi-ethnic churches if they've been dishonored, but to be vocal about it, both inside but especially outside the church. Now, of course, there are things like abuse or crooked doctrine that warrant leaving a congregation. Specifically, plenty of our African American brothers and sisters have been neglected and hurt by fellow Christians, either directly or indirectly. Depending on context, church leaders should be made aware of the things that are justifying a departure. Still, I think that much of what we're seeing right now is part of a larger I'm leaving church and please watch me leave movement. Being noisy about joining so-called ex-evangelicalism is not only a very popular thing to do right now, it's a way to become popular. In fact, after years of watching people leave loud in one way or another, there's a few troubling themes that seem to emerge. For example, almost without fail, when a person leaves a church loud, they'll cite bad or hurtful behavior by the people or the leadership at the church. Of course, no one wants to stick around if they're being mistreated, but in our culture, it seems that many think that just being morally challenged or anything at all that falls short of our all-out affirmation counts as personal harm. Also, this Gallup poll pointed to interpersonal strife as a significant reason for leaving the church. In fact, the number of people leaving a particular church over interpersonal strife is lower, it seems, than the number leaving an entire faith tradition over interpersonal strife. According to this poll, the primary driver of plummeting church membership is people renouncing religion altogether. To publicly denounce even a particular congregation, not to mention a particular denomination, not to mention an entire faith tradition, because of how people have behaved, is to misunderstand what Christianity is. First and foremost, it is a commitment to Jesus Christ, which, second, involves a whole set of claims about reality. Who Jesus is and what Christianity teaches must be evaluated on their own merit. Of course, many churches have failed in preparing young people to do this. These two factors, when considered together, makes one wonder if those who are so quick to blame the people in the church for their own leaving are in reality just upset with God. So many ex-evangelicals and progressive Christians begin by lamenting the bad behavior of fellow churchgoers, but end up rejecting the Bible's moral claims about sexuality or about God's judgment of sin or about the lordship of Jesus in one area or another. The more that the wider culture professor finds Christian teaching outdated and outrageous, the harder it will be to distinguish between the various motivations of those who leave the church and the faith and do it loudly. What is clear is that it is essential, at least for anyone who tends to stay, to persevere in the faith, that they know what the faith is. For example, Scripture's clear that followers of Christ should live peaceably with everyone as far as it depends on you. Anyone who takes that teaching seriously, they're going to find it difficult to leave loud, or to justify leaving over silly things, or to neglect praying for those who have left. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Always thought-provoking. Thank you, John. It is 20 past the hour. Kev's back at the Weather Center. His forecast next.
Here is your Family Life weather forecast for this afternoon. Clouds, sun, a couple of scattered showers. If you heard a rumble of thunder, had a little small hail in a few isolated spots, wouldn't surprise. The breeze will be gusty as well. Temperatures this afternoon no higher than the 50s when it's showering or when the clouds are out. Times will be in the 40s. It'll feel even chillier with the breeze. Tonight, the skies will break, but some frost could form. Low temps, 30s. More in the way of sunshine. Sunshine tomorrow on Thursday and milder. 50s and low 60s tomorrow. We're in the 60s in most areas for highs on Thursday.
All right, Kevin, thank you. Feel a fall in the air today. This is the Noon Report. I'm Bob Price. Great to have you with us. Here's what's going on. Tuesday, the 11th of May, the FDA has cleared the way for Pfizer's COVID vaccine for children. This is for kids as young as 12. It's the first COVID shot just for children. The CDC is expected to give the vaccine the thumbs up tomorrow.
Since Pfizer vaccines are already in distribution centers and in pharmacies, that means vaccines could be given to 12 to 15-year-olds in just a few days.
CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John Lapook. The death toll is rising in the Middle East. Israel retaliating today after Hamas militants fired hundreds of rockets into the Jewish state. Robert Berger watching things from Jerusalem.
Israeli warplanes pounded Gaza, targeting Hamas commanders, rocket launchers, and tunnels. In southern Israel, air raid sirens wailed as Palestinians fired more than 200 rockets across the border. There were also more clashes at the flashpoint of the conflict, the Mosque of Al-Aqsa here in Jerusalem.
An Israeli school was hit today by a Hamas rocket. Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson.
Israel is surrounded on all sides by individuals who will seek violence and seek to do the citizens of that country harm. And so it's going to be interesting to see what reaction, if any, the Biden administration has here.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowing today to remain on the offensive until those Hamas rocket attacks end. At least 26 deaths now, blamed on the violence, and sadly, many are children. We've just heard from Voyager 1, the farthest human-made object from planet Earth.
Yeah, Bob, this is just fascinating stuff. The car-sized probe has just detected a faint, persistent hum in interstellar space. Scientists say it's interstellar gas and sounds like a quiet or gentle rain. Voyager 1 began its odyssey into deep space back in 1977. After beaming back dazzling views of Jupiter and Saturn, it hopscotched to Uranus and Neptune and powered past Pluto. It's now about 15 billion miles from Earth. It's the only man-made object to exit our solar system. Bill Price, Family Life News.
Fascinating indeed. Thanks, Bill. Gas shortages are being reported after a major oil pipeline, the Colonial Pipeline, was the target of a cyber attack. North Carolina and Georgia ran out of unleaded fuel yesterday. Former Energy Secretary Rick Perry.
They got 45% of the gasoline that's going to the eastern part of the United States going through that pipeline. So it's, this is a national security issue.
President Biden says there's no evidence Russia was behind the ransomware attack, but the gang that was, DarkSide, they operate out of Russia. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton.
No cyber gang in Russia could conduct this kind of attack against an American piece of critical infrastructure without the tacit or explicit knowledge of Vladimir Putin's government.
The Colonial Pipeline hopes to be fully operational by week's end. Five abandoned migrant children were discovered this week by a farmer in Texas on his land near the Rio Grande River. The baby girls were found hungry and crying. One was naked. The farmer says he gave those girls food and shelter, and he is certain that they would have died had he not found them. Nearly all the attorneys general in this country are urging Mark Zuckerberg to drop plans for a preteen version of Instagram.
44 AGs from across the country, including New York's Tish James, are calling on Facebook CEO to abandon plans for a version of Instagram designed for children under the age of 13. The attorneys general are concerned the new platform would lead to increased cyberbullying and stalking by online predators. They also point to studies that found social media can be harmful to the physical, emotional, and mental well-being of kids. Brendan Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you very much, birthday boy Brendan Dixon. A pandemic corner's about to be turned in the UK.
May 17th, Brits can once again visit museums, dine inside restaurants, and the highlight for most, they can hug each other again.
I do love to give my friends and family lots of hugs.
We're like social creatures, you know, we need that interaction.
Though there is the occasional outlier.
I've been hugging direct family members, but other than that, I haven't missed hugging anyone else.
This easing possible in part because so many Brits have embraced social distancing measures. Vicky Barker, London.
It was on this date, 1981, 40 years ago today, the world lost a music legend.
He brought reggae to the world. From the tough streets of Kingston, Jamaica, Bob Marley became a music superstar.
No woman, no pride.
Marley's songs often had an optimistic tone. But he did not shy away from politics and human rights.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
This is Marley's most enduring classic song. 40 years ago today,
singer Bob Marley died in a Miami hospital today.
Bob Marley was 36 years old.
Marley died of cancer. His final words to his son Ziggy were, "Money can't buy life." It's 25 past the hour. This is the Noon Report. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Joe Bolognone from Syracuse, New York. He runs a ministry that's connecting Christians across the region. Exciting stuff going on in the Salt City. Tell us what Mission Syracuse is all about.
The idea of Mission Syracuse is that God has brought the countries of the world to America so that people that have missionary-minded hearts to reach the lost don't have to go any further than their own city. They're right here.
Exciting stuff. Now, this is exciting, too, this new store, Outpost Destiny. What's that all about, Joe?
Well, we were meeting downtown, and we wanted a home for the cold weather months. And I was praying about it, and I thought, you know what? Why don't we gather to meet at the mall? For that matter, why don't we make it a kind of an outreach where we can be a witness to the city? Because that's the most congregated area in central New York. And we have leased a spot. You can call it a store. I call it a hub for the Church of Syracuse. It's a resource center where we're going to have people there to pray with people who wander in. There's free coffee, free water, free Gideon Bibles. It'll be kind of a bookstore where there are Christian movies, Bibles, books, polo shirts, and say Mission Syracuse window decals, so that we can get the word out there that there is a uniting church in Syracuse. And we're going to highlight all the different ministries that are already existing. So we're not competing with other churches and ministries. We're going to highlight them in our store, kind of like a travel agency would highlight all the different destinations.
Yeah, and it's amazing. You wonder why more communities don't do what you guys are doing there in Syracuse. How are you guys integrating, I guess, yourself into that community? And how is the greater Syracuse area, how are they accepting you guys?
It's going phenomenal, Bill. I can't even tell you how exciting this is. So I think there's a revival coming. So we're gathering people with that theme. We're connecting all the different ministries so they meet together. And it's kind of like Nehemiah's wall when you had a group building this gate, another group building the other gate. We're bringing them together like Nehemiah did when we blow the trumpet for a citywide event, because we believe there should be a citywide church to reach a city. They all come together. So we're doing more together with our events. But Bill, the secret, I think, that God had in mind all along was we're bonding with one another. We're healing one another. We're ministering to one another. We're building friendships. This is bringing people together. So we're learning how to witness to the community without sounding, can I use the word Christianese? They're seeing how our love is in action.
That's our faith. You know, it's not rocket science. Get out and show people that you care.
more times than not, doors will open. And what are some of the exciting stuff you guys have planned coming down the pipeline here for Mission Syracuse in central New York?
We're going to blitz and market. You know how the world markets their own perverted ideas of things and division and, you know, anti-godly type of things. They'll market pornography, they'll call it entertainment. They'll market abortion and call it women's health. You know, they market. So we're going to market faith, gospel, prayer, patriotism, love, kindness. We're going to have events like Faith and Family Night this year with the Syracuse Mets, testimony from the billboard, fireworks with live Christian music. We're just going to go take the walls off the church. So we want all the Christians in the community to come together to help us till, plant, and water. And any farmer will tell you, if you till, plant, and water, you're going to reap a harvest, and that's what we're looking for.
I'm sure you, as all of us, have been impacted by this pandemic. How has it impacted your ministry, and how has this health crisis, I guess, opened doors for you to serve?
Well, that's a great question, Bill. In my opinion, for a dear friend whose mother had gotten cancer, and I went to my prayer closet, and I said, Heavenly Father, why is it that so many people have to face so many heart-wrenching needs? The fear of this pandemic has opened hearts. People are so open. I've never seen them so open. So this is opening doors for us, and we're saying we're going to restore hope to the community. It's being widely received. It's open doors. I believe it's been a godsend because the stage is now set for the church to advance.
Joe Bolignon from Syracuse, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
Thank you, Bill. Hometown Heroes comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report or online anytime, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Cool to pool air that has been with us of late continues to generate unsettled weather this afternoon with everything from sunshine to showers. But as a cool pool retreats, sunnier skies and warmer air can be expected moving forward. But for this afternoon, changeable. Clouds, sun, a couple of scattered showers. If you heard a rumble of thunder, had a little small hail and a few isolated spots, wouldn't surprise. The breeze will be gusty as well. Temperatures this afternoon no higher than the 50s when it's showering or when the clouds are out. Times will be in the 40s. It'll feel even chillier with the breeze. Tonight, the skies will break, but some frost could form. Low temps, 30s. More in the way of sunshine tomorrow on Thursday and milder. 50s and low 60s tomorrow. We're in the 60s in most areas for highs on Thursday.
All right, Kevin, we'll get there eventually. Thank you very much. Finally at noon, the Cats and the Rats. An Illinois group enlisting the help of stray cats to combat Chicago's rat problem.
Treehouse Humane Society told WGN-TV they have released over 1,000 feral cats on the streets since 2012. Orkin has named the Windy City the rattiest in the country for the past 6 years. The group says they started the Cats at Work program as a safe alternative to poison. The group places 2 to 3 neutered or spayed cats in an area to help with rodents, and then local business owners become responsible for keeping the cats fed and sheltered. I'm Mark Mayfield.
All right, win-win. Thank you, Mark, and happy hunting, cats. That's the world we live in, Tuesday, May 11th. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.
The Noon Report has been sponsored in part by